We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. The title of my message today, if you're taking notes, I hope you are, is A Problem Called Prime. A Problem Called Prime. Amen. We live in such a fast-paced world. Everything is about making things more efficient, more convenient, easier. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everything's like, how can I do this easier? How can I do this faster? How can this be more convenient for me, especially now during this pandemic, right? I mean, we've shifted the way that we shop nowadays, right? I don't go to stores as much as I used to. Now, you know, I do online pickup. Y'all don't want to talk about anybody have a Target problem? Okay. Amen. Amen. There's a group that meets after service every Sunday to talk about the issues at Target. We've shifted the way that we shop. And of course, one of the things that has been a huge blessing and a huge issue in my house is Amazon Prime. Come on now. That's a whole message in itself. But Amazon Prime, if anybody here does not know what Amazon Prime is essentially you pay a monthly fee for all your orders that you buy through Amazon. To essentially, you don't pay for shipping, but really you're paying that monthly fee for it, right? It really, I mean, you have to get your money's worth by buying more than one thing per month, right? Right. Just more than one thing is what would be ideal. But in my house, it's a little bit of a different story. Because it's not just two things or three things or four things. I mean, I would say that we've become best friends with the Amazon delivery guy. And there's a new guy every day. So that tells you something. No, I mean, the reality is we order from Amazon all the time because it's just so convenient. It's so easy. Anybody a big fan of Amazon? I mean, like, I'm going to tell you right now. I compare Amazon now to everything else. So, like, if I'm going to buy something online and they tell me it's going to be 7 days till I get my shoes, I'm sorry. You're not getting my business today. I'm sorry, I'm not waiting 7 days to get my shoes. I need the shoes in 2 days. And sometimes the next day delivery. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That one day delivery, that's amazing. I put my delivery on at 7 p.m. It is at my door in the morning. That's crazy. But the problem is that we have now transferred this idea of Amazon Prime, of getting things so quick and easy, getting things so conveniently right at our door. We don't have to do anything. There's a one-click to purchase button now, y'all. That's dangerous. That is so dangerous. I don't even have to go to checkout or go to the cart to actually buy an item. Now I just click a button and it already knows where I'm at, where I'm, like, it's crazy. But it's the reality of the world today. And now we've transferred that mentality, that lifestyle, that way of thinking into our relationship with God. And a lot of us, we're looking for an Amazon Prime God that works on our time, in our ways, with our plans. Lord, I need this in 2 days. I got a deadline, Lord, so you do too. And we've transferred this mentality into our relationship with God. Now, this, of course, is a shameless plug to go and support your local stores as well, your small businesses. They're the backbone of this economy, yo, and they have suffered a lot during this season. So I encourage you guys to go and support small businesses. I'm saying I got an Amazon problem, and you do too, but we should still support our local businesses. Amen. We've transferred this to our relationship with God. We want things to happen instantly when it comes to things that we come to God about, right? It's like we pray for something, right? We pray for something, and then as we open up our eyes, we're like, where is it, Lord? I said amen. So it should be here already. Lord, I said, let it be so. So why is it not so? I don't understand. I don't get it, right? We've transferred, again, this mentality. You know, we want things to be easier. We don't want to have to go through the suffering to get to the mountaintop. We don't want to experience the valley. We want to just get there. Lord, I just want to be there. You know what the desires of my heart are. God, I just want to be there. I'm not concerned about suffering, Lord. I don't want this. We want things to be easier. We want things to be convenient. We don't want to have to work for them. We say, Lord, this is what's on my heart, God. Lord, I need this. And God says, okay, I understand, but let me help you be a part of the miracle as well. You see, because in order for me to provide you with that dream job, you actually got to, you know, get on LinkedIn and or Indeed and actually apply for a job. It's not going to show up at your door. If you really want to find that person, that companion, that I need you to actually work on yourself, because the person I have planned for you is not looking for you now. Whoo! That's going to hit somebody. We don't want to have to work for the miracle. We just want it out our door, 48 hours. Thank you very much. Touchless drop-off, by the way. Like, don't ring my doorbell when you drop off my stuff. My daughter's sleeping. You know, but in the story that we just read, we read that the Israelites, they got tired of waiting for Moses. They were about to experience a historic moment, the Ten Commandments. They're about to experience a moment that till this day we understand what happened that day. But yet Moses, in a frustration of realizing what the people had done, breaks the Ten Commandments and has to go back up. And he says, okay, now y'all going to wait 80 days. You thought 40 was long. Now I'm going back out for another 40. I'll be back. And don't mess up this time. But the reality is they just rushed. They lacked patience. They just wanted to take matters into their own hands. They said, we know what is best for us. How many times you said that? Lord, I know that you created everything and that you are in my yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but I think I know what's best for me. Me, the creation, the thing that you molded. Even though you hold the plan for my life, I know what's best for me, Lord. I don't need to check with you. I don't need to wait on you, because I know best. Because I've lived 20 years of the 85, whatever years that I'm going to live, Lord. So I know what's best for me. And a lot of us, we think that way. And what happens when we take matters into our own hands? Well, we rush. We rush things, right? We rush into, like I said, relationships that we were not called to be in at that season. We rush into seasons. We rush into jobs. We rush into other situations. We rush into places that we were not meant to be at that time, that you were not prepared to handle, and you wonder why you're falling apart, because God did not call you to be there right now. You're not meant to be in that situation right now. You're like, well, I knew that it was the right time. It looked like the right time from the outside, but let me tell you, the grass always looks greener on the other side. Till you get there and you realize it's fake grass. It's turf. It looked too good to be true. And we rush into things. You know, David, King David, he was anointed way before he became king. David needed to experience the growth. David needed to be a warrior before he became a king. And a lot of us, we are in that battlefield, but we just want to get to the throne. And we are rushing to the throne, not realizing there's a process to get there. Amen? So we rush into things. Otherwise, you know, what else? So we rush into it. We push through things. We try to make a puzzle piece fit somewhere it's not supposed to. We say, well, no. What does that mean? That you're starting to compromise who you are and who God called you to be because of what your vision is for your life. Well, God, I know that you told me I shouldn't be with that person. God, I know you told me that I shouldn't go there and I shouldn't act like this and I shouldn't. But you know what, God? I think I know what's best for me. So I'm just going to mold into whatever it is this world asks me to be so that I can be successful in my own eyes. But we got to remember that we're not of this world. So why do we try so hard to look like it? Why do we try so hard to blend in? Because the world looks at us and says, they're no different than us. Why would we want to seek that God? So we push through things. We push through situations just so that we can fit a certain criteria for the plan that we have set out for ourselves. And we go against God's direction, ignoring all wise counsel. I can't tell you. Gosh, it gets me hyped. Because Pastor Chad says this all the time. People come up to me all the time and they say, hey, Pastor Mark, this is what God told me. What do you think? I'm like, I'm not God. Like, if you think God told you that, then what? Why are you coming to me? Now, if you came to me and said, Pastor Marco, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I believe God is telling me. Can you go and pray about it? I need confirmation. Or I need you to tell me otherwise. Because let me tell you, the same God that's talking to somebody is talking to me. So God's not going to contradict himself, right? So it's either God is really talking to you or that's just your opinion. and you're pulling scripture out of context to match your opinion and say that God talked to you. You see, because a lot of times, you know, we were talking about how, you know, this whole series that we're in right now about God's voice and how God speaks to us. And a lot of times we think of things ourselves and we come up with our opinions and then we go to the Bible and try to back up our opinions. How about you instead get into the Word of God and say, God, what do you want to say to me today? Lord, what is it that you want me to do? God, what is it that you need me to say? How do you need me to walk, Father? And then you go and seek God's Word, and then you align your life to God's Word. It's not the other way around. It is not the other way around. Do not try to match your opinion with the Word of God. Amen? So we push. And then, of course, we rush, we push, and then we crash. And then we crash. We realize that we are in the wrong place at the wrong time. And what do? We don't take responsibility for it. We say, God, why'd you put me here? God, why'd you give me this job? Lord, why'd you put me in this situation? Lord, why'd you give me these kids, Lord? God, why do you have me in this place right now? And then we start praying against the very thing we ran after. And we crash. And let me remind you of something, y'all, because a lot of people are like, the devil's coming after me, Pastor Marco. Maybe it's just yourself. Maybe you got yourself into the situation that you're in based on your own conscious decisions. Because ain't nobody controlling your thought. No one's controlling your actions. Amen. Like that's a beautiful thing about God, is he gave us the ability to make decisions because he wanted a relationship with us. So nothing's controlling you. You have the ability to make a decision to say yes or say no. And it comes down to what you are feeding. Are you feeding your spirit or you're feeding your flesh? Because whatever you're feeding is going to be stronger than the other side. Right? So we crash. Now, this is a cycle that I believe a lot of us find ourselves in many times. We're so desperate for the miracle and the blessing that we skip the experience. My wife and I were just watching a documentary recently about Blockbuster. Yeah, remember Blockbuster? Come on now. Some of y'all are like, what is Blockbuster? I'm not gonna lie, I was very young when I used to go to Blockbuster. I was living in Peru at the time, but it was an experience. An absolute experience. I mean, you walk in, you know, it's like you feel like you are in a movie theater at Blockbuster. And you're walking around, you're looking at all the VHSs, right? And you're looking at everything. And even at the time, they started coming out with video games, I think, and you could rent them out. And of course, we always forgot to bring them back, right? Never rewind them. I was that guy. Like if you always were upset at the person before you because you're like, dang, I have to watch the whole movie backwards because they didn't rewind it. They weren't kind. Be kind, rewind. You know, but Blockbuster was an experience. And then what happened? Redbox came out, right? And we switched from now walking into a store to going into a little vending machine and just buying things off the little vending machine. And then Netflix comes out. Now we don't even have to go anywhere. We sit on our couch, turn the TV on, and that's it. But we're missing the experience. And now I watched that documentary, and I was like, man, I would pay to go to Blockbuster right now. I literally would. There's one left, I believe. I believe it hasn't shut down yet. There's one left in the U.S. It's in Oregon, that's right. Yeah, it's in Oregon. So I encourage you, if you want to take a trip, it's worth it. I would take a trip to go to this one Blockbuster. But it's crazy because we have missed the experience. And again, we transfer that, what we're living in this world, into our relationship with God. And we no longer want to experience God. We just want to see the blessing. We just want to see the miracle come to pass, right? But God wants a relationship that can only grow through experiences with him. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm kind of romantic, okay? Kind of. I have my moments. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, any man here, like, I got my moments, all right? Like, I'm not like, I go through seasons, okay, where I'm trying really hard, and the seasons where I'm like, gosh, this is really hard to do. It's sometimes it's challenging, right? But sometimes it just comes so natural. And I remember when Pastor Jordan and I, we were dating. We had gone to a concert, a Michael Bublé concert. Anybody here like Michael Bublé? Amazing. Amazing voice. And we had gone to a concert, and of course, we were the youngest people in the crowd. at the time, and it was, everything was packed, and her favorite song came on, and like we were sitting like this, like we couldn't even like be in the moment. And I remember like there was people in the floor dancing, and she was just looking at them like this, and I felt so bad. And I remember we were driving home, and she was like, "How come you didn't take me down there to dance?" And I was like, first of all, okay, we were like 20 rows up. We were packed. I'm thinking in my head, like, why could you even say that? I think we got into a bit of an argument. Okay. The only one we've ever had. Just kidding. just kidding. We have a 7-month-old, y'all. And I remember we were driving the highway. We were coming home, and we were just in the heat of the moment. And I said, you know what? I stopped talking for a little bit because I was thinking in my head, in the highway, I just pull over into one of those spots where the cops typically are between the highways. I crank the music. And I hold her hand, and I call her out of the car. And she was so scared. She was so, because there's cars flying 70 miles an hour, like 10 feet from us. But I was like, you wanted to dance, let's dance now. And we started to dance. And that was our wedding song. And we danced that song in our wedding. But I know. Thank you. No, but it's those moments that we talk about today. Those moments that build our relationship. Those moments where it was literally about just being with each other. Not about literally cars going 70 miles an hour, 10 feet from us. It was about just being in the moment with each other. And I think we forget that that is exactly what God is looking for from us. To just be in the moment with Him. To just experience God. Not about what's coming in the week or about what's coming in a month, but about just being in the moment with God. What happened to it? Where do we lose that? Where do we miss that? So I want to encourage you guys just very quickly with the time that I have left on how to experience God. If you're taking notes, number one, you got to slow down. You have to slow down. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" See, we're supposed to experience rest in the presence of God, not stress. Woo. You're like, well, I've been feeling the opposite. Have you actually been experiencing God? Have you slowed down? Or are you allowing your thoughts to run the conversations that you have with God? I hear about a lot of people, not necessarily in this church, but just in the global church, getting burnt out. That word is so common. I'm burnt out. I got to stop. I'm burnt out. Well, let me tell you, it could be because you're not actually experiencing God and you're just doing church. And not being the church, not being His bride. And you're not experiencing God. See, we got to speak less and we got to listen more. Often we want to tell God all that is in our hearts and in our minds, but we never want to hear what He has to say back to us. You ever talk to that person that is like, they're like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And you're like, really, that one time where you're really about to answer them like how you're actually doing. They're like, "Okay, well, it was great talking to you. See ya." I think a lot of times we come to God and we're like, "Hey, God, so thank you so much for all that you're doing in my life. And you know, I'm curious to hear what you have to say to me. But before that, you know, I have this thing on my heart," and you just start spilling everything to God, and you just give Him everything, and then you forget to actually listen for a response. I'm not talking about audibly listen, but I'm talking about being alert again to the voice of God and how He speaks to us. We just went through a whole series. You know God speaks to you, but you're not open to listening because all you do is speak. All you do is say things to God, but you don't actually care about what He has to say back. We got to learn to sit still in the presence of the Lord. You ever told a kid to sit still? I'll tell my baby girl to sit still, and she doesn't even know what that means, and she doesn't do it. It is so hard for kids to sit still, especially when you tell them to do it. But yet, the Bible tells me that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And if you truly believe that you're carrying the Holy Spirit in you and it's growing and you're actually seeing fruit of the Holy Spirit, you should be able to have some self-control. And if not, I encourage you to pray to the Holy Spirit that He helps you to build that self-control. Because you can't just say, "Well, I just can't control myself." That's not true. That's what the enemy wants you to believe, that you can't control. But the Bible tells me that the fruit is self-control. Amen. So, number one, you gotta slow down. Number two, you have to look around. look around to experience God. We are so focused on the next thing and the next thing that we can't be in the moment. We're so focused on the next miracle, we miss what God is actually doing in front of us. God, I need this thing. And you're so focused on this one thing, you don't realize how good God has been already. You don't look around to see what God is doing in your life. My wife this past Sunday did an incredible tithe and offering encouragement about the fact that, you know, a lot of times we think about God, you know, investment in our tithes and offerings and receiving back, you know, monetary things. When in reality, a lot of times God is asking you to pour out and to give, bring back to him what is already his. But, you know, in return, you will not necessarily always see a monetary thing. You could see that son, that daughter that you've been praying for decades finally come to know Christ. You could see that person, that husband or wife that has been struggling with addiction finally to be being freed and that those chains being broken from that. You could see freedom come to pass, healing, protection from things you don't even know. But yet you are waiting for this check to show up in your mailbox. And I know, I've heard stories of that happening. But what if God's trying to show you his love in other ways? Because let me tell you, the Bible tells me that God knows all of my needs. And maybe the thing that I think I need is really just more of a want. And I'm wasting time focused on a want, not realizing God is already providing for my needs. Gosh, we need to open up our eyes, y'all. Look around to what God is already doing. How often do we go through life just going through the motions, focused on the next thing and the next thing, and we don't slow down to give God a praise break? And if you don't know what that is, I encourage you to go on YouTube it. You'll find yourself salsa dancing in your kitchen because of how good God has been. Gosh, I remember where the Lord found me. And I think on the outside, everybody thought I was fine, but on the inside, I was so broken, y'all. Maybe you're sitting here today and you seem like you have it all together. But inside you feel lonely, you feel anxious, you feel broken, you feel lost. I can't encourage you enough. Our God is a God that saves. Our God is a God that frees, that brings people from the ashes and puts pieces back together, pieces that the world won't be able to. I believe in medicine, I believe in doctors, but I believe in a God that is also faithful and that knows me better than anybody else who has a degree. I believe in a God that knows my tomorrow and knows where I've been and takes everything into account when he works a miracle inside of me, and I've seen it. But we don't slow down enough to notice how good our God is sometimes. And we start to point fingers because we don't have what we want. So you have to slow down and you have to look around to see God. See, the Israelites, they had been freed from Egypt. God had literally opened up the ocean for them. And yet they lacked trust in him because Moses took a little too long to come back down. I can't encourage enough. Listen, if God is doing something in your life right now and you've been praying for a long time and he's not done, it hasn't shown up yet, you're not done waiting. There's this song that I love. It's called Seasons. And it says, God, if you're not done working, I am not done waiting. Because I would rather wait for whatever it is that you have on the other side of this valley than for whatever it is that I can come up with. Because you know what's best for me. Not me. You know what's best for me. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, I said this earlier, but it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God has heard your prayer and knows your need. So praise him in the process. Amen. And my last point as I finish. To experience God, you need to serve others. You need to serve others. And you might be sitting here like, why would I serve others when I got this going on in my life? How can I pour into other people when I have this going on? How am I supposed to sow into people's financial needs when I'm in need? How can I do this? But is it possible that you can experience God when you put others first? Is it possible that you can experience God? See, Jesus, he teaches us about his return and how he will sort people out. He's so straightforward, y'all. I encourage you to read through Matthew. Matthew 25, verse 34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.'" Jesus makes it personal. And in verse 40, it says, "Then the king replied, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Is it possible that you can experience Jesus by giving to others, by sharing with others, in your need, sharing with other people? God sees what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with, but yet he still asks you to share in that struggle so that you can experience him. And why is serving others so crucial? There's two areas here that it hits. Serving others, it takes your eyes away from you. It takes your eyes away from your issues, from your problems, from your concerns, from your selfishness. See, sometimes we're so concerned about our situation, we fail to look at what others are going through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." You are blessed so that you can bless others. You might be sitting here like, "I'm not blessed." Yes, you are. Open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Is it possible that God can bless you when you bless other people? In Proverbs 11, 25, "The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." Is it possible that the refreshment that you are waiting for is actually going to come out of you refreshing somebody else? If you take your eyes away from you and look to serve someone else, is it possible? And then the other thing that it accomplishes, serving others, it gives God more room to bless you. Woo! I love this because y'all never read the scripture like this. Malachi 3:10. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do this, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test." See, a lot of times, like I said, you don't realize that God has already blessed you. And you're holding on to these things. When God wants you to share and to give and to pour into other people so that you can get a fresh outpouring of what God has for you. You're like, "God, I'm so ready for this next season." And God says, "Well, I need you to let go of the last one." Because you're still stuck on what I did last year. You're still stuck on what I did 2 years ago. I need you to share in that blessing.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.